The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Dean Silver from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the book Month by Month Gardening in the Carolinas by Bob Palomsky. And we left off last time at the in September, and we were starting the care of annuals. Take cuttings of your annual plants to bring indoors to carry through the winter. Coleus, geranium, impatience, wax begonia, and others do best when stem cuttings are rooted and kept in pots indoors during cold weather. Be sure to place pots where they receive plenty of light and cool temperatures. Trim back leggy annuals and continue removing faded flowers to encourage more blooms. For bulbs, if you cannot plant bulbs right away, store them in a cool 60 to 65 degree Fahrenheit location to prevent them from drying out before planting. Temperatures higher than 70 degrees Fahrenheit can damage the flowers inside spring flowering bulbs. They can be stored in ventilated bags, but not in paper or plastic bags, unless specified. Because rhizomes, tubers, and tuberous roots dry out faster than bulbs and corms, store them in peat, perlite, or vermiculite. Bulbs can be stored for several weeks in a cool place, 35 to 55 degrees Fahrenheit, such as a refrigerator. Vegetable crisper drawers can be used, but avoid storing bulbs in the same drawer as ripening fruit or vegetables, which give off ethylene gas that can cause problems with flowering. Because some bulbs are poisonous, this storage method is not recommended for households with young children. Mountain gardeners must dig and store caladium bulbs before frost. For edibles, harvest herbs to dry for winter use. Freeze chives. Take cuttings for a windowsill garden. Start drying herbs such as basil, oregano, sage, summer savory, and tarragon. Alternatively, use your microwave oven to dry herbs. Heat them between paper towels for 1 minute or until leaves are crisp. They'll keep their color and flavor stored in the dark in jars. Dig sweet potatoes before the frost, being careful to avoid bruises and scrapes. Cure them for 2 or 3 weeks in the warmest room in the house to toughen the skin. Then store them where it is cool and dark. Every 2 weeks, cull out any showing signs of decay. Harvest loofah gourds when they begin to turn brown. Feel light and dry and rattle when shaken. Let any that remain after the first killing freeze dry on the vine to make useful biodegradable scrubbers for you and your pots and pans. Prepare the loofah. Soak in warm water until the sponge can be slipped out of the skin. Whiten sponges by dipping them into a 10% solution of household bleach. After thorough drying, store them in mesh bags. Discard worn-out sponges in your compost pile. Harvest winter squash and pumpkins when fully mature, but before they are damaged by frost. Cut the fruits from the vine, leaving a short piece of stem attached. They will keep for several months in a cool, dry basement. Harvest garlic when the tops die. Cure the bulbs for 6 weeks in a warm, dry, shady, airy place. Then move them to a cool, dry, airy spot. After mid-month, pinch new blossoms off tomatoes, peppers, and eggplants to help smaller fruits mature before cold weather. Tomatoes won't ripen when average daily temperatures fall below 65 degrees Fahrenheit. Then is the time to nip off all blossoms to plant nutrients flow to tomatoes already set. Not all green tomatoes ripen off the vine to an acceptable taste. Rescue from frost for later ripening only those showing a white or yellow star or a pink tinge at the blossom end. Delay ripening by storing at 50 to 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Light is not needed, so put them where you can keep an eye on them. For lawns, don't retire the lawnmower. As long as the grass grows, it should be mowed. And for perennials and ornamental grasses, pull out stakes and remove cages as plants finish for the year. Clean the stakes and cages and store them where you can locate them next spring. Deadhead, silver mound, artemisia to remove the flowers. It tends to decline after flowering, so channeling the plant's energy to the leaves will prevent it from self-destructing. For roses, roses in the Piedmont and coast areas can be deadheaded and pruned to encourage new growth now that the cooler temperatures of fall are on the way. In the mountains, stop deadheading roses so the seed pods or rose hips will mature. Instead, hand-pluck faded petals from the hip. The colorful hips add an attractive feature to the winter garden. Producing them also encourages the rose to focus its energy on hardening off in anticipation of winter dormancy. For shrubs, trees, and vines and ground cover, as the leaves fall, rake them up, shred them, and use them as mulch. Prune out only branches that are dead, diseased, or broken. Hold off on major pruning, such as rejuvenation, until late winter. Pruning now will only stimulate tender new growth, which can be killed by our first freeze. A certified arborist should repair any storm damage to large trees. Wait until next year to prune your crepe myrtles. Research shows that late summer, fall, and early winter pruning may predispose woody ornamental plants, especially crepe myrtles, to cold injury. Delay pruning until late winter or early spring before bud break. And for water gardens, before freezing weather arrives, bring tender marginals and other indoors where they will store them. Continue to trim spent flowers and foliage that has matured on your marginals. Clean up any leaves that may have sloughed off into the pond and compost them. Now the topic is watering. For annuals, perennials, and ornamental grasses and roses, fall is the driest season in the Carolinas. Keep newly set out transplants well watered to help them establish quickly. For bulbs, shrubs, trees, and vines and ground covers, September and October tend to be dry months in the Carolinas. Continue watering regularly, especially new plantings, until they become established. Check moisture in the root ball prior to watering. For edibles, keep watering. Many crops such as corn, peppers, squash, and tomatoes won't mature nicely if stressed due to lack of water. And for lawns, water the lawn if necessary. For water gardens, maintain the water level in the pond. And our next topic is fertilizing. For annuals, apply a slow-release fertilizer when planting cool-season annuals. For bulbs, it's not necessary to fertilize newly planted spring-flowering bulbs if they're going to be treated like annuals for one season of bloom. The bulbs can grow and bloom without any additional nutrients. If you want your bulbs to neutralize or perennialize, fertilize newly planted spring flowering bulbs with a slow-release fertilizer instead of making one annual application of a controlled-release fertilizer. Apply a fast-release fertilizer at planting and a second application the following spring when the new shoots emerge. Water after fertilizing to make nutrients available to the roots. Winter blooming bulbs such as cyclamine and crocus do not have to be fertilized in most well-prepared garden soils. A light top dressing, however, with a balanced fertilizer such as 10-10-10 will encourage abundant blooms and keep corms healthy. For edibles, apply fertilizer to vegetables as needed. And lawns, do not fertilize warm season grasses at this time. Heavy amounts of nitrogen can predispose them to winter kill. Often potassium is recommended for winter hardiness and drought tolerance. Fertilize Kentucky bluegrass or tall fescue according to a soil test. In the absence of soil test recommendations, use a 3-1-2 analysis, such as 12-4-8 or 16-4-8. Fertilizer where 1/4 to 1/2 of the nitrogen is slowly available, look for water-insoluble nitrogen or slowly available nitrogen on the label. Apply 1/2 or 1 pound of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet of lawn. If you accidentally spread fertilizer on the sidewalk, driveway, or road, sweep it up and return it to the lawn. For perennials and ornamental grasses, fertilizing is not necessary this late in the season. Allow the perennials to go dormant. For roses, stop fertilizing roses 6 weeks before the average first freeze date in your area to allow the new growth to harden off, preparing the roses for their winter rest. If you didn't do so last month, Piedmont and coastal gardeners can fertilize ever-blooming roses with a fast-release fertilizer if necessary. Water afterwards to make the nutrients available to the roses. For shrubs and trees, if your shrubs and trees have produced sufficient growth this year, fertilizing may not be necessary. If you choose to fertilize, rely on soil test results to apply the nutrients required by your shrubs and trees. For blue flowers on your French hydrangeas, maintain a soil pH between 5 and 5.5. Applying aluminum sulfate or sulfur to reduce the pH to this ideal range. To avoid having to adjust the pH, grow a blue flowering hydrangea such as All Summer Beauty, Blue Wave, or Nyko Blue. For vines and ground covers, if your vines and ground covers have produced sufficient growth this year, fertilizing may not be necessary. If you choose to fertilize, rely on soil test results to apply the nutrients required by your plants. If they are showing their fall colors, wait until next year. For water gardens, as the water temperature cools, the plants will cease growth and begin to go dormant. They do not have to be fertilized. And our next topic is problem solving. For annuals, discouraged by powdery mildew on your zinnias, this late in the season, fungicides may not be warranted. Zinnias will soon be removed to make way for cool season annuals. Make a note in your gardening journal to select mildew-resistant zinnias next year. Check for evidence of snails and slugs. Set out baits or traps for them as the weather turns cooler and wetter. Look for silvery slime trails and irregularly shaped holes in the leaves, which are the most characteristic signs of slugs. A close inspection of plants at night, early in the morning, or on cloudy, wet days is the best way to catch slugs feeding. Do not turn your back on the weeds in your flower beds. Summer annual weeds like crabgrass and goosegrass have matured and are going to seed. Winter annual weeds like annual bluegrass, chickweed, and Carolina geranium are germinating. Hoe them out or hand pull them now. For bulbs, aphids and spider mites may still be active. Evaluate the extent of injury and decide if pest control measures are warranted. Use a water wand on a weekly basis, preferably early in the morning, to wash mites from plants. Clean up dead fallen leaves. They can harbor disease and insect pests over the winter if allowed to remain on the ground. Hand pull any young winter annuals or cover them with a shallow layer of compost. Weeding is never fun, but the cooler temperatures can make it more bearable. Voles, rabbits, and deer relish many kinds of flower bulbs, such as crocuses and tulips. To protect bulbs from voles, cover the bulbs with heavy wire mesh screening that allows the roots to grow through. Dig down about 10 to 12 inches and spread the 1/2-inch mesh across the bottom, up the sides, and over the top. A simpler technique that offers less protection is to spread a handful of sharp, crushed gravel around the bulbs at planting. For edibles, cucumber beetles and squash bugs, Colorado potato beetles, and European corn borers pass the winter in garden debris. Compost or plow under dead plants. This will limit your pest population next year to insects that migrate into the garden. For lawns, sample several damaged areas to get an average number of white grubs per square foot to decide if control is necessary. Lawns can tolerate lower or higher numbers of grubs depending on the health of the lawn and the kind of grub. Submit the grubs to your Cooperative Extension Service office for identification to help you decide if an insecticide is warranted. Scout for adult mole crickets in the coastal plain and treat if necessary. Examine the yellowish to brownish spots in your St. Augustine grass lawn for cinch bugs. Use the coffee can technique to sample for them at the edge of the damaged area. Dollar spot or brown patches may be present. Ask on how to manage these fungal diseases. If annual bluegrass and other winter annuals have been a problem, apply a pre-emergent herbicide to control the germinating seeds before they appear. Annual bluegrass germinates in late summer and early fall when temperatures drop consistently into the mid-70s. A pre-emergent herbicide forms a barrier at or just below the soil surface and kills the emerging seedlings. Look for annual bluegrass in shady or moist areas. And for perennials and ornamental grasses, handpick slugs and drop them into soapy water. Setting out an inverted clay pot board or grapefruit rind near favorite plants will give the slugs a place to congregate. Pitfall traps baited with beer or a simple mix of sugar water and yeast attract and drown the slugs. More effective are strips of copper foil, snail bar, or even copper screen attached to the edges of pots, raised beds, and tree trunks. Poison baits containing iron phosphate are also effective. Finally, because slugs prefer moist conditions, eliminating trash and other debris in the garden, limiting irrigation, and delaying mulching until seedlings have grown larger will reduce problems with slugs. Remove infected leaves and clean up fallen leaves and discard them. Fungicides may not be warranted this late in the season. Make a note in your gardening journal about varieties that were highly susceptible to powdery mildew and consider replacing them with more resistant cultivars next year. Powdery mildew-resistant garden phlox cultivars include Bright Eyes, David, Eva Cullum, and Franz Schubert, Natasha, Robert Poor, and Starfire. The following bee balm cultivars are less prone to infection by powdery mildew: Claire Grace, Cole Rain Red, Elsie's Lavender, Jacob Klein, Vintage Wine, Raspberry Wine, and Marshall's Delight. Don't turn your back on weeds in your flower beds. Summer annual weeds like crabgrass and goosegrass has matured and are going to seed. Winter annual weeds like annual bluegrass, chickweed, and Carolina geraniums are germinating. Hoe them out or hand pull them now. For roses, rose aphids and spider mites may still be active. Evaluate the extent of injury and decide if pest control measures are warranted. Use a water wand to wash mites off plants weekly, preferably early in the morning. Clean up fallen rose leaves. They can harbor diseases and insect pests over the winter if allowed to remain on the ground. Keep the rose plants clean and the area around their feet tidy and free of debris. During the growing season, pick up and remove fallen leaves. Keep the area around the roses free of weeds to eliminate any overwintering hideouts for two spotted spider mites. For shrubs, aphids and spider mites may still be active. Evaluate the extent of injury and decide if pest control measures are warranted. Use a water wand to wash mites off plants on a weekly basis, preferably early in the morning. Clean up fallen leaves, which can harbor disease and insect pests over the winter if allowed to remain on the ground. Don't turn your back on the weeds in your shrub beds. Summer annual weeds like crabgrass and goosegrass have matured and are going to seed. Winter annual weeds like annual bluegrass, chickweed, and Carolina geraniums are germinating. Hoe them out or hand pull them now. Rabbits and deer can be a problem. Various commercially available mammal repellents can be applied to your shrubs. For trees, fall webworm is a North American native insect that attacks more than 100 species of deciduous trees and shrubs. Unlike the eastern tent caterpillar, which constructs smaller nests, and fall webworm does not become conspicuous until late summer and early fall. Two generations hatch each year, the second being more conspicuous. Fall webworms are a cosmetic nuisance. The defoliation typically involves only a few branches and occurs late in the season, by which time the tree is ready to shed its leaves naturally. In most years, a large number of natural predators and parasitoids keep fall webworms in check. The bacterial insecticide, Bacillus thuringiensis, can be applied in June when the caterpillars are small and sprayed onto leaves next to the nest, on which the caterpillars will soon feed. Nests that are easy to reach can be pruned off or torn apart with a stick, and the caterpillars dislodge with a strong stream of water. The simplest course of action, however, is to do nothing in the confidence that the fall webworms aren't doing their plants any harm. Root rot caused by Phytophthora, which means plant destroyer, attacks a wide variety of plants, including dogwood, deodar cedar, Fraser fir, white pine, and many others. Look for wilted dying plants. Scrape the bark near the crown and look for a reddish-brown discoloration where the fungus has moved into the stem. These fungi are often found in wet or poorly drained sites. They'll attack plants in moderate to dry sites if they're planted too deeply. Overwatering plants in moderate to dry sites also favors these fungi. When symptoms are evident, fungicides are often ineffective in controlling this disease. Prepare now to protect your trees from deers and rodents. Protect trees from deers with fencing or repellent. Rabbits can be deterred by installing wire or plastic guards around the trunks of young shade trees and fruit trees. To discourage voles, pull the mulch away from the trunk about a foot. Rabbits and voles will feed on the thin bark of young trees. To protect trees, shrubs, and ornamentals, use hardware cloth cylinders to keep voles away. First, use a shovel to cut the ground around the plant just enough to insert a wire cylinder. Then add the hardwood cloth. The bottom edge of the cylinder should be buried at least 6 inches below the ground. If kept in place permanently, the mesh will girdle the tree's roots. To avoid injury, remove it after 1 or 2 years or bury it further away from the trunk without harming the feeder roots. For vines and ground covers, aphids and spider mites may still be active. Evaluate the extent of injury and decide if pest control measures are warranted. Clean up falling leaves. They can harbor diseases and insect pests over the winter if allowed to remain on the ground. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time, and we hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anna Dean Silver, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. And please join us next time when we will be starting October for The Gardener. Thank you.